Morning, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so pleased to have you worshiping with us wherever you are this morning. We are Calvary Presbyterian Church of Enfield, Connecticut. I'm Pastor Steve Thayer, and as I said, we are so, although we would rather be worshiping all together, we are so glad for the opportunity or the ability that we have to go into your homes and allow you to join in this time of corporate worship. If you would like more information about us, you can go to our website at www.calvaryenfield.org, and that will tell you more about who we are and what we do. If you would like to be put on our mailing list so that you can find out other opportunities we have for nurture and growth during the week, you can do so there. Would also ask you to remember that though our building is closed, the ministry of Calvary Church continues on to the glory of Christ. And if you would like to make a donation, you can use the link on our website to make a donation online. If you have a concern for which you would like prayer, we'd encourage you to email it to prayer@calvaryedfield.org. And you can either just write an email in which you share your concern and someone from our prayer team will pray for that. Or if you would rather have someone pray with you over the phone, include your number and a couple of convenient times when someone could call, and someone will from our prayer team will get back to you and pray with you. To members of the Calvary family, I would like to remind you once again of our virtual coffee hour that it happens by Zoom. And so about 10 minutes after the initial broadcast of this service, would encourage you to grab a cup of coffee or tea and sign on to Zoom and follow the email link that was sent out yesterday afternoon. As we prepare to come before the Lord in prayer, before the Lord in worship, let us pray together. God of life, we thank you for the gift of worship. We praise you that though we are scattered, we are united in Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to wherever we are and whenever we're watching this to empower us for worship. Especially be present with those whose lives are filled with pain, anxiety, loss, or sadness. May we sense how the gospel, how your great love is a source of our great hope. And as we sing and pray and hear your word, may we find the hope and joy that come only from you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us worship God in our call to worship. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Let us worship God together.
God.
Oh God, we come before you and we thank you that everything that we have is only by your grace. We thank you that it is by your grace that we are able to come before you and worship you. We thank you that it is by your grace and your grace alone by which we have come to you and know you as our Savior. And we also thank you that it is by your grace which sustains us. And it is by your grace that we walk day to day in the confidence of your presence as we seek to be faithful. Oh God, we thank you for your wonderful grace which you have revealed in your love, your deep love, your great love in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
See?
I'd invite you just wherever you are to take a moment. And however you want to do it, say thank you to God for his deep, deep love in Jesus Christ. Thank him for a love that is eternal. Thank him for a love that is deeper than we can imagine. Thank him for a love that has brought you from death to life. Thank him for a love that is making you new. But as we reflect on the deep, deep love that God has shown us in Jesus, we are also led to reflect on the fact that we do not exhibit that love as he would have us. And so I would invite us to move into a time of confession for the ways in which we have not shown love to others as he has shown it to us. Almighty God, you created us for life together, but we have turned from your will. We have not loved you as you commanded. We have broken the promises we have made to you and to one another. We have taken much and given little. Forgive our disobedience, O God, and strengthen us in love so that we may serve you as a faithful people and live together in your joy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And may the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sin, strengthen us by his Holy Spirit, and by the power of the Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
sins they are many, His mercy is more.
That is the wonderful news of the gospel. Turn to the person that's next to you, if you're watching this with anyone else, and just say, His mercy is more. What great news. Amen.
As we prepare to hear God's word to us in scripture and in sermon, let us join together in prayer. Prepare our hearts to accept your word, O Lord. Silence within us any voice but your own, that hearing we might also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, when dealing with the public, you often have to get used to some unusual requests. And that's even true for pastors, although I don't think we're going to go there right now. During my high school years, I worked several nights a week in a fast food restaurant, Roy Rogers to be precise, and people were always picky about how they wanted things prepared. A little extra mustard, light on the onions, hold the ketchup on the hot dog, extra cheese on the hamburger, make sure the fried chicken is all white or all dark meat, make sure the roast beef is either extra well done or as rare as you can get it. It seemed to be almost an endless variety of requests. Now, the strangest was a guy who came in one night, not long before closing. He obviously had been out for a good time, and he made his way to the register and ordered a roast beef sandwich, and he told us to hold the beef. Now, of course, we complied. He paid his 79 cents. This was a really long time ago. And seemingly satisfied, he left. But he didn't really have a roast beef sandwich because he left out the essential ingredient which made it one. And it got to me to thinking, what is the essential ingredient for the life of God's people? What is that one thing that if you leave it out makes the church not truly to be the church? And Paul writes about that, and he describes the essential ingredient in the words that we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And now I will show you the most excellent way. You see, the essential ingredient for the life of the church, here according to Paul, is expressed in this chapter. The Corinthian church thought that they had a lot of things that were going for them. Some expressed spectacular spiritual gifts. Others boasted in great knowledge. Some prided themselves in their wisdom. Others in their high position. And many of these may have been real. But for all that, they were lacking. Lacking in the essential ingredient for their life in Christ. That ingredient, of course, is love. And in this beautiful passage, Paul sought to encourage them to press in to this essential ingredient of love. You see, love is essential. Without it, all we do is nothing. Love is the essential ingredient in the life of the church and in the lives of God's people. In verses 1 through 3, Paul writes that without love, nothing else matters. There were those with eloquent speech who spoke in the tongues of the angels. But he said, you know, even if you speak in tongues of men or angels but you had no love, it's just a lot of noise. There were those with great wisdom, with knowledge and with faith, who had the ability to understand and probably even express great mysteries. But Paul says, without love, they are nothing. There were those who were great in service, who would give away everything that they had. They would give up even their lives for the work of the gospel. But without love, Paul says, we gain nothing. Without love, we are nothing. Without love, all our gifts, all our insight, all our good works, everything we would attempt to do in the service of God or others is worth nothing. Why? Because ultimately, without love, it becomes all about us. Now, all these qualities that the Corinthians had were good things, but the motivations of our heart matters. We can do good things for a variety of reasons. We can do them to relieve our guilt. We can, you know, do great things for God to call attention to ourselves. We can do those things for the approval of others. But if we act even in good ways without love, they will have a very limited effect. Without love, we really don't have the motivation to look out for another's interests. Without love, we won't have the perseverance to stick through difficult times. Without love, we are ultimately looking out for ourselves. And when the payoff for what we are doing something stops, whether it is the accolades from others stop, whether it is, you know, the good feelings we get from serving stop, when those things stop, we are not likely to continue. If we are truly going to be the church, we are truly going to be an expression of the people of God, there needs to be a committed, a self-giving love, a love that looks out for the good of others, a love that is in it for the long haul, because only love, in love, will we look beyond the sphere of our own needs in a way that relationships are built and sustained. In the way that we stick to service even over the long haul and even the hard times, only in love will we serve in a way where Jesus is glorified. But what does it mean to love? Well, if you look up love in the dictionary, you will find it defined primarily in terms of emotions or feelings, affection, attraction, feelings of goodwill. And that is a reflection of our culture. Love is primarily about what we feel, about our emotions, about how I feel about you and about you feel about me. And so for us to act in love means to act out of our feelings. If I feel it, I will act on it. But the problem, as we all know, of course, is that feelings are fickle and they are fragile and they are changing. And they are rarely certain. Now, we shouldn't discount the reality of feelings. You know, they are part of how God made us. They're part of who we are. But if love is only that, then it's not going to persevere. If love is only consists of feelings, then I need to be honest and say that there are days when I would have to say that I don't love much of anyone, even myself. But the love revealed in this passage goes far beyond mere feelings. The word used here is the same word that's used to describe God's love for us in Jesus Christ. Love that is unmerited and undeserved, love expressed in active self-giving, love that sacrifices and endures. If you look at the fourth chapter of the letter of 1 John, we see that everything that John writes about love points back to God, and particularly how God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. I'd like you just to close your eyes for a moment as I read this again. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, can open your eyes. Who does that describe to you? Well, to me, it sounds like Jesus. Because Jesus was the greatest manifestation of love that this world has ever known. It is in love and only in love that any of us, only in the love of Jesus, that any of us are in a relationship with God. Love that we are to love with is the love of Jesus Christ. The third thing we see about love is that love is eternal. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You see, what we do, the prophecies that we might proclaim, and the spiritual gifts we exhibit, the knowledge that we profess, the good works that we do for God, you know, all of those eventually are going to pass away. All of them. What will remain? Love. And indeed, it is that love that we will celebrate for all eternity. My favorite sermon by Jonathan Edwards is not Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, but it is one that he preached in 1738 called Heaven is a World of Love. And listen to what he writes. Love cherished in the soul on earth will be to us the foretaste of and the preparation for that world which is a world of love and where the Spirit of love reigns and blesses forever. And the whole point of that sermon is that heaven is a world of love. And the way in which we prepare ourselves for that is to cherish love in our souls, the love of God through Jesus Christ, our love for our sisters and brothers around us as a preparation and a foretaste of what we will experience in all eternity. For as Paul writes, love never ends. Well, there's one more thing I need to mention that is not specifically in that passage, And that is, we need to remember where love comes from. Love comes from God. You know, when I'm getting ready to prepare for a wedding with a couple, I always ask them what scripture they'd like at their wedding. And I would say, you know, 8 out of 10 times, it's 1 Corinthians 13. And when we share our reflections of, well, why do you want that? What does it mean to you? I find that most people completely miss the point of the passage. You see, Paul's point here is not to give us a list of things that we are to do in our own strength to be more loving people, but rather they are a description of the kind of love that Jesus desires to create within us. They're not merely actions of love that we do, even though we might inwardly be gritting our teeth when we do them, but rather as we draw close to Jesus, the source of his love becomes embedded in our hearts, and we are able to love in ways in which seem to us to be impossible. Many of us have read or seen the movie of Corrie Ten Boom's story, The Hiding Place, where she and her family, out of faithfulness to Christ during World War II, hid Jewish persons in their home to escape Nazi persecution. They were betrayed and sent to a concentration camp, where Corrie's father and sister died. She survived, and God gave her a ministry of sharing the gospel in the midst of a very broken and hurting Europe after the Second World War. And she writes of a time in which this reality of the love of God became especially real to her. She writes, "My greatest friends live in Germany. But sometimes I find people who were cruel to me in the concentration camp. Once I saw a lady in a meeting, and suddenly I saw that woman was the nurse who was so cruel to my dying sister, and there came hatred and bitterness in my heart. But when I felt that there was hatred and bitterness in my heart, I knew that I have not forgiven her, and I say, oh Lord, I cannot. I am not able." And who of us would be? And then she writes, "Suddenly I saw it. I cashed the check of Romans 5:5, which reads, 'And hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.' And I said, 'Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love in me is stronger than my bitterness and hatred.' And I could go to that nurse and I could shake hands with her, and I had the joy to be used by the Lord to bring her to a decision for the Lord Jesus. What a joy. What a joy." The love with which she was able to forgive, the love that was stronger than her own bitterness and hatred and pain, was the love only available through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the essential ingredient is love. When you come to the end of it all, people are not going to be transformed by our programs or activities. People are not going to be transformed by religion. People are not going to be transformed by our good intentions. It is love that transforms. The love of God that has been poured out to us in Jesus Christ. A love which is to be manifested and seen within his people, the church. That is the love to which we're called. Do we do it perfectly? Well, I'll speak for myself, and I'll say absolutely not. I fall far short of what's written in this passage and need to rely upon the grace of Jesus every day. Will we mess up? Yep, probably all the time. But as we, as God's people, draw closer to Jesus, and as we desire for his love not only to dwell in our hearts, but to be manifest through us, God can take our actions, you know, our strengths and the gifts that he has given us, but he can also take our weaknesses and use them in a manner through which his love can break through which his love can transform, through which his love can bring life. But the greatest of these is love. And now to our great God in his Son Jesus Christ be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen.
Let us continue to worship God in a beautiful little hymn that's based on 1 Corinthians 13, the gift of love. And let us sing this as a prayer to the Lord. Let us pray together. Oh God, we thank you in Jesus Christ. You have loved us with a great love. And that by your Spirit, you have poured your love into our hearts. And we pray, oh God, that you would continually be at work in us, that love may be more and more manifest through what we say and what we do. Lord, because love is patient, Help us to be slow to judge, but quick to listen. Hesitant to criticize, but eager to encourage. Remembering your endless patience with each of us. Because love is kind, help our words to be gentle and our actions thoughtful. Because love does not envy or boast and is not proud, help us to have hearts that are humble, which see the good in others. May we celebrate and appreciate all that we have and all that we are in you, as well as doing the same for those around us. Because love is not rude or self-seeking, help us to speak words that are easy on the ear and on the heart. When we are tempted to get wrapped up in our own little worlds, remind us that there's a great big world out there full of needs and hurts. Because love is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs, help us to forgive others as we have been forgiven by you. When we want to hold on to a grudge, help us to release it so that we can reach out with hands of love instead. Because love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth, help us to stand up for what is right and just and good. May we defend the defenseless and help the helpless. Show us each how we can make a difference in love. Because love always protects and always trusts, help us to be a refuge for those around us. When the world outside is harsh and cold, may our hearts and may your church be a place of acceptance and warmth. And finally, because love always perseveres, help our hearts to continually beat with love for you and for others as we thank you and as we praise you for showing us what love truly means. Oh God, work your love in our hearts, that your love may be shown in our lives, and that we may be people who reflect the grace and love of Jesus, who taught us to pray for the coming of his great kingdom of love, saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." I invite you to join us in our closing song of worship. And now remember who you are. You are a people who have been called in love, are forgiven in love, and now have the love of God poured into your hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember who you are and go forth from this time walking in the certainty of God's love and allowing that love to change and transform you, that you may be a demonstration of that love to a lost and hurting world. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.